you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Or, as I'm known around here, the moderately moderate moderate, and moderately proud of it. Old Moderate Randy, that's me. Well, at least I admit it. There are a lot of people out there who are moderates, but, you know, the liberals on the left and the conservatives on the right will both berate anybody who identifies as a moderate, accuse us of being wishy-washy, and as a result, a lot of moderates will simply not acknowledge that they are indeed moderate because they really don't want to be ostracized by the diehards on the two extremes. But I'm not. Wishy-washy, that is. I just don't walk in lockstep with either party. And I'm not ashamed to say I'm a moderate. In fact, I'm proud of it. Well, as I say, I'm moderately proud of it anyway. Look, this is the reason why I'm no longer the fill-in talk show host around here. I'm not conservative enough. I'm most definitely conservative. A moderate conservative, but a conservative nonetheless. The last Democrat I voted for was Jody Stavanoa for Fort Bend County Judge, and he was a long way from being a New York bleeding heart liberal. Now, I'm not proud to tell you that the last Democrat I voted for in a presidential election was Jimmy Carter, but it's true. Jimmy Carter was a terrible president. He was a good man, but a terrible president. And in 1976, I'll confess, I voted for him because of his character, not his politics. But that was a big mistake, and I do regret it today. So I am a conservative, but I am a moderate conservative. Well, for instance, I'm against the death penalty, but probably not for the reason you think I'm against the death penalty. I think the death penalty is too lenient. It's way too easy for a murderer to lie down on a gurney, stick a needle in his arm, fall asleep, and never wake up again. If this monster actually kills somebody, he or she should have to live in a 8x12 steel room for, I don't know, the next 40, 50, 60 years with another disgusting monster who hates him or her. Now, that's an appropriate punishment in my mind. And if that makes me a moderate, well, then I'm a moderate. A moderately moderate moderate, but a moderate nonetheless. And that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about the U.S.-North Korean summit to start out the show today. Now, I'm going to be the first to admit to you that I am no foreign policy expert, but I did spend a year of my life in Korea. Well, South Korea, of course, not North Korea. So I do feel like I've got a little more perspective on the politics of the two Koreas than most people do. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the politics of the United States through the prism of the U.S.-North Korea summit. And by that, I mean the hypocrisy of both liberals and conservatives when they prattle on about the summit. Kind of like I'm doing now, I guess. At any rate, I was really struck by the duplicity of those on the left and the right this past week when it came to the summit. Democrats, unsurprisingly, roundly criticized President Trump, first for even talking to Kim Jong-un, supposedly because he's this bloodthirsty dictator and he violates his own population's human rights. And all of that is most certainly true. He does that. But how else is a sitting president supposed to make any diplomatic headway with our enemies if he can't even talk to them? Joseph Stalin was a bloodthirsty dictator, too. But that didn't stop the darling of the Democrats, Franklin Roosevelt. He talked to Stalin. He even became allies with the Soviets to win World War II. Besides, these two guys, Kim and Trump, they were talking about nuclear war just a few months ago. What could possibly be wrong with them smiling and shaking hands and talking about things? You know, instead of blowing things up, for crying out loud. On the other hand, the Republicans are no better. I mean, who can forget how people on the right condemned Barack Obama for daring to talk to Fidel Castro? And yes, of course, Castro was another bloodthirsty dictator. And yes, he violated his own population's human rights. And Republicans were outraged when President Obama opened diplomatic channels with Cuba. But now that it's Donald Trump who's talking to a bloodthirsty dictator, somehow that's okay. It's a brilliant strategy, like Ronald Reagan's "Bring down this wall, Mr. Gorbachev," or Richard Nixon opening relations with China. To me, both extremes are hypocritical tools, and I guess that's why I'm a moderate. A moderately moderate moderate, and moderately proud of it. But a moderate nonetheless. And by the way, as an Army vet who spent a year in Korea, I don't know about you, but I think talking is probably a good thing. Okay, rant over. It's time to turn our attention, or I guess I should say my attention, to the topic of conversation on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show for this weekend, steak. Because June is National Steakhouse Month. And here's another personal admission for you. I almost never eat steak at a steakhouse, and there are two good reasons why. First and foremost, I think most steakhouses are way overpriced. My first memories of a steakhouse were a little hole-in-the-wall restaurant. It was located in the Fort Worth Stockyards called Theo's Saddle and Sirloin. Theo was Theo Yardinoff. Little old man, spoke very little English, but boy, he cooked one of the most mouth-watering filet mignons I have ever eaten. And it was reasonably priced, I might add. I grew up in Fort Worth. My mom and dad loved to eat there. I can remember Dad repeatedly trying to get Mr. Yardinoff to give him the recipe for those filets. But to the best of my knowledge, the old man never gave it up. And that brings us around to the second reason why I almost never eat steak in a steakhouse. Pop cooked a pretty good filet on the backyard grill, and he taught me how to do it, too. But they still don't taste like one from Saddle and Sirloin, I have to admit. And in point of fact, you'll find just as many different opinions on how to perfectly grill a steak as there are opinions on the U.S.-North Korea summit. As an example, some backyard chefs swear by a practice that my father would label as pure heresy. They think if you put a thick pat of butter right on top of the steak just a minute or two before it's finished grilling, that it'll keep the meat moist. Dad would howl in protest if somebody tried to do that to one of his steaks. His formula was really simple. Salt, pepper, Worcestershire sauce, and throw it on the fire. His way to keep a filet mignon moist was to wrap a slice of bacon around it and carefully keep count of the exact number of toothpicks he used to hold it in place for safety. Because, you know, wooden toothpicks can burn away. Another example? Some amateur grillers will marinate the meat overnight, or maybe use a rub or a seasoning of some kind to spice up the taste. But others would insist, as my pop would say, "You're messing with the meat, boy." And he'd seriously question your mental stability. And another trick I don't ever recall my father using is to let the meat rest. Now, I've heard several much more accomplished backyard chefs than me claim that the meat will continue to cook in its own juices after you take it off the fire. So when you let the meat rest for 5 minutes or so, it allows the natural juices of the steak to seep back into the meat. Now, I've tried this technique, and I'm here to tell you folks, it works. Try it for yourself. So today on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, we're going to attempt to properly address all these diverse opinions. No, not the summit, on steaks. We'll start with a genuine expert and one of our proud sponsors, and we're proud to have him as a sponsor too, Chris Goodlander of Lone Star Grills with a Z on I-45 in Willis. Chris not only knows how to make the best grill in the world, he knows how to make a great steak too, so he'll be the first one up to the plate. No, I don't mean home plate. I mean the dinner plate. Then we're going to visit with one of the best backyard chefs I know, John Shelton, who just happens to be one of my business partners here at Edgewater Studios, where we produce the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. John loves to grill, and he especially loves to grill steak, so we're going to tap into his vast knowledge about using marinades and rubs on steak. Yes, I know, Dad, it's heresy. And then we'll wrap up today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show by sharing a few laughs with my old radio buddy from our 30-year run on the Hudson and Harrigan Show, Fred Olson. When it comes to cooking steak, he has adopted a hands-off approach. Fred has abandoned his backyard grill. He has ceded control of the steak cooking process to his wife Bev's iron skillet. So today on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, be prepared to hear as many different opinions on how to cook steak as there are about the U.S.-North Korea summit. Just be sure that you cook my steak medium. Well, because I am a moderate after all.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Randy Hames for Lone Star Grills with a Z. Lone Star Grills builds custom smokers, barbecue pits, fire pits, trailer pits, mobile barbecue pits, and more. All in their state-of-the-art computer-controlled fabrication shop manned by skilled craftsmen. Amber and Chris Goodlander meet every customer and every customer's needs. Don't see what you want? They'll custom build it for you. No converted oil drums here. Lone Star Grill's fully tooled on-site fabrication shop can construct anything in steel, stainless steel, or aluminum with flawless precision and the highest quality workmanship every time. Lone Star Grills also has Big Green Eggs, pellet smokers and grills, plus a full line of high-quality made-in-the-USA gas grills and all the accessories. Check out their showroom on I-45 in Willis or call 936-344-6151. And they ship cookers all over the world from their website, LoneStarGrills.com. You spell grills with a Z, but you'll give them an A-plus every time. Lone Star Grills, you deserve the best.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hams.
Say hello to our good friend and sponsor, Chris Goodlander of Lone Star Grills with a Z in Willis. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good.
Well, good. It's good to talk to you. I wanted to start out by mentioning that the Goodlanders are, as their name implies, good, down-to-earth folks who just happen to make the best grills and smokers and fire pits and trailer pits in the world. So we are especially proud to have Lone Star Grills as sponsors here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Thank you for that, Chris, and it's a pleasure to have you back.
Yeah, thanks again.
One question that popped into my head on my way to work this morning involved the time of year. It's the heyday for outdoor cooking. Of course, we here in Texas cook outdoors all year long.
Right.
But people in other parts of the country or other parts of the world don't necessarily. So does summertime have an impact on the items that you sell?
Yeah, it does. As you mentioned, around here we grill out pretty much all year round, but we ship all over the country and even beyond. And that does slow down or speed up things when we're talking about our orders nationally. You know, it is grilling season all across the United States, so it definitely is a little bit busier this time of year.
The reason why I even mentioned this is that, as Chris just explained, Lone Star Grills does sell and ship their outdoor cookers all over the world, literally. So tell us which items you sell most often to customers outside the state of Texas.
Well, if we're talking about the U.S., the United States, the products that we manufacture here on site, you know, the offset smokers, our insulated smokers, our trailer pits, those are the things that people are willing to have shipped because they just can't get them made locally. They can buy them locally. They're just not made as well. So those are the items we tend to ship.
And you have an extensive shipping program, right? You go through one of these big logistics companies, and you do it on an everyday basis, right?
We have shipments going out all over the place every single day. We do deal with several different motor freight companies in order to get these products to their end, the end customer. So, yes, we do.
And we get so wrapped up in talking about the grills and the smokers and the trailer pits that Chris and his team manufacture from scratch, right there in their state-of-the-art computerized fabrication shop in Willis, that we often overlook the other brand name units that you offer your customers, like Big Green Egg and Fire Magic. So talk about your line of commercial products for just a minute, Chris.
Yeah, sure. We brought those in about a year and a half ago to cater more to our local clientele. We want to get more people in our store here locally to expose them to the products that we build, and it's a good way to do that is have people come in and take a look at, you know, a Big Green Egg, and you know whether they want the Big Green Egg, and I'd be happy to sell them that or introduce them to the products that we manufacture. It's just sort of a thing we decided to do, again, bring in more foot traffic, expose more people to the products that we build, and hopefully maybe provide them with one of ours or with one of these other well-known, well-made brands.
And what kind of brands do you carry, Chris?
Well, you mentioned the Big Green Egg. Everybody's heard of the Big Green Egg, the ceramic cooker, Kamado-style cooker. We carry Fire Magic, which is a high-end outdoor kitchen gas grill. Lynx, another high-end Made in USA gas grill. We carry Blaze. We also carry RCS. We carry all the doors, drawers, refrigeration, ice coolers, ice machines, beer kegs. All of those brands can all put those units into an outdoor kitchen or cart mounted. We also carry Louisiana pellet grills. We carry Memphis pellet grills. We have a cooler that is Legend Coolers, these roto-molded coolers, as you've seen them. There's a lot of them out there. But we carry that particular brand, as well as a few other brands that are accessories and, you know, signage and things like that.
You mentioned pellet grills. I've talked to some dedicated outdoor cooking enthusiasts who seem to think that pellet grills are too simple. Set it and forget it. Takes all the fun out of the game. Do you agree or disagree?
I say different strokes for different folks. I hear that a lot myself, and I'll be happy to sell that individual a smoker if they want to stand there and put wood in it all day. We've got that for them. And for the person that just you know, either that ship has sailed for them or they're just not into that and they just want the convenience of pushing a button and turning it on and being able to cook over real wood. We sell the pellet smokers as well. I'll kind of leave my own personal opinion out of it because, you know, at the end of the day, all of these things that we're talking about are tools, and there's different tools for different jobs. And, you know, the pellet smoker or pellet grill may fit one particular job well and maybe not another one so well. So, you know, I just kind of leave it at that because, again, there's cookers out there for everybody.
Well, funny you should mention that. Today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is all about steak. June is National Steakhouse Month. So do pellet grills lend themselves well to cooking steaks?
They work okay for cooking steaks, depending on how you want to cook it. It probably wouldn't be my preferred method to cook a steak, but they would certainly get the job done.
Well, then talk about how you would prefer to cook a steak.
So steak's probably one of the favorite meals at our house. We do it once a week, maybe not quite, but it's something my doctor's been working on me, trying to get that cut back a little bit. But irregardless, I like to get the fire as hot as I possibly can and do it one of two ways. Either the sear method, which everybody's familiar with, you get the fire as hot as you can get it, you sear it on both sides for half a minute to a minute, and then you set it off of the fire, off of the direct heat, and let it finish cooking slowly to bring it up to temp, or the reverse sear method where it's just that, you reverse that process, where you cook it at a low temperature until it comes up to the finish point, and then you sear it on both sides at the end just to finish it.
Ooh, that's good insight. What are your family's favorite cuts of steak?
Probably got to go with the ribeye or the filet.
And which one do you personally gravitate toward?
I like them both. Probably the ribeye. Probably the big 2-inch thick cut bone-in ribeye.
Yeah, I must admit, I like all that marbling. But at the same time, the filet is very tasty, but it's also very lean. Do you prefer to wrap bacon around your filet to keep the juices in?
I prefer to do the bacon around the filet. I do prefer to cook it with the reverse sear method on that particular cut. So I cook it almost at a 225, 250 degree range. And then at the very end, when it comes up to that perfect medium rare temperature, which is 125 internal temp, and then I'll sear it at the end just a little bit to put those grill marks on it at the end.
And do you use a marinade or a rub when you prepare your steak?
I've gone all over the place, but here for the last couple of years, I really just like sea salt and black pepper.
Yeah, I must admit, I kind of agree with you. Why mess with the taste of a perfectly good steak, huh?
Yeah, the key is to buy the best meat or the best ingredients you can afford to start with, and then you don't have to mask all those flavors. The meat itself is the star of the show.
Do you use a meat thermometer, or do you just go by time, Chris?
On steaks, there is a very small window from rare, medium rare, medium well, all the way up to done. I use a instant read thermometer to get my steaks just exactly right. I think that's important. You can do it by touch. If you're cooking steaks for lots of people all day, every day, it becomes second nature, and you can hit it pretty close. But I think when you spend that extra money on that nice quality cut of meat, I think it's really good to have that internal temperature. That way you hit it just right.
Yeah, a cooking disaster is a dinner disaster, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it's really, honestly, it's just a couple of minutes one way or the other, if that, depending on how you're cooking it. So, really, I mean, it's a very small window, and, you know, whatever you paid for the steak, if it's just not good, it's just not good. Even no matter how you cooked it, no matter what grill you use, it's just... It's just an insurance policy in my view.
This has been our good friend and proud sponsor here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, Chris Goodlander. He owns and operates Lone Star Grills with a Z on I-45 in Willis. Give us exact directions how to get to your store, Chris.
If you're coming from Houston, you exit 102, make a U-turn, stay on the feeder road, and we'll be about a mile and a half on the right-hand side.
What's your website?
LoneStarGrills.com.
And that's Lone Star Grills with a Z.
That's right.
And social media.
We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Chris, thanks again for Lone Star Grill's sponsorship of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Give our best to Amber and the boys.
Thank you very much.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Randy Hames for Lone Star Grills with a Z. Lone Star Grills builds custom smokers, barbecue pits, fire pits, trailer pits, mobile barbecue pits, and more. All in their state-of-the-art computer-controlled fabrication shop manned by skilled craftsmen. Amber and Chris Goodlander meet every customer and every customer's needs. Don't see what you want? They'll custom build it for you. No converted oil drums here. Lone Star Grill's fully tooled on-site fabrication shop can construct anything in steel, stainless steel, or aluminum with flawless precision and the highest quality workmanship every time. Lone Star Grills also has Big Green Eggs, pellet smokers and grills, plus a full line of high-quality made-in-the-USA gas grills and all the accessories. Check out their showroom on I-45 in Willis or call 936-344-6151. And they ship cookers all over the world from their website, LoneStarGrills.com. You spell grills with a Z, but you'll give them an A-plus every time. Lone Star Grills, you deserve the best. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200 or NewStarInc.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Our next guest is actually no guest at all. He's just another member of the Hames family. He is our third business partner here at Edgewater Studios, John Shelton. Welcome back, John.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
Yep. John and my son Derek went to school together at TCU.
Go Frogs, correct?
Yes, Go Frogs. And John serves as our CFO in our company. He's also a very accomplished guitarist. He's a highly skilled studio engineer, and you've been using some of those skills this past week in recording a major album project.
Yeah.
For one of our favorite Texas country artists.
Absolutely.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the Drugstore Gypsies are working on album two. We had them in at the beginning of this week doing some rhythm section tracking. It was good to have the whole band back in, and the fact that they're doing their second album is really exciting.
So what was the name of their first album?
It was just the Drugstore Gypsies. It was a self-titled record.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've known those guys since they were, like, I guess fresh out of high school, newly in college. And we did their first album with them, and they've had a lot of success with it. I think their single Run Into is up over 700,000 spins on Spotify.
Cool.
They're playing all the time. They've had some really great opening shows for a lot of bigger acts like Whiskey Myers. So it's been pretty exciting to watch them grow, and we're really excited to have them back in doing album two.
So what kind of music do they play?
I'd call it Southern Rock. I think that's probably the closest description that I can give. You know, if you're a fan of bands like Blackberry Smoke or, you know, even country bands like Whiskey Myers, you'll really like the Drugstore Gypsies.
Talk about the process you and my son Derek use as producer and studio engineer to record an album, and more importantly, contrast and compare it to the experience musicians have in other studios that simply charge by the hour.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the biggest thing is having a real producer is important. You know, a lot of times when you go to a studio that just charges by the hour, you're just paying for the engineer. But when we go do a major album project like this, the biggest difference is you have somebody like Derek that can really see the overall vision of the project. And so his work on it begins with pre-production with them. You know, he spent 2 days in a rehearsal space with them going through the songs for the album, getting arrangements tightened up, looking at, you know, does this kick drum pattern work with this bass part? Like really getting into the details of that before somebody gets in the studio. And what that allows us to do, you know, is make just a really cohesive album. But, I mean, Derek is a really big, you know, differentiator in that is that he's an actual record producer and he's actually working with these bands to produce. So when we get to the studio and I have to go through and start miking stuff up, everybody has a clear vision of what they're doing. And that allows them to be a lot more creative once we get in the studio as well.
Talk about project pricing. I hear you guys throw that term back and forth, and I don't fully understand what it
means. Yeah, so a lot of studios charge by the hour. What we've done a lot with artists, particularly this year, is working with them sort of going, okay, what is your budget? And then how do we make that budget work, right? So, you know, a lot of times when you go to the studio, it's, hey, we charge this much per hour. And as many hours as you use, you know, at that point, the project's done. We do project pricing, though, which, you know, is a situation where we kind of don't look at the clock anymore as much as they're paying per song. And what that really frees us up to do, you know, on some of the albums that we've done, we've spent 40 to 50 hours on one song. And so if you'd gone to a recording studio and had been charged by the hour, that would have cost a fortune versus we're able to do that. And it really takes our eyes off the clock and really helps us focus more on the music. That being said, we do a lot of hourly work too. You know, I think the big thing is we're willing to sit down with any artist and go, okay, what is your budget? What are you trying to accomplish? And let's figure out a way to make your budget work versus either having this super high price per song or somebody having to pay by the hour for a large project.
All right, you talked about any artist. Name some of the other artists you guys have worked with other than the Drugstore.
So there's a guy out of Dallas named Jared Morris that we're working on his album right now. It's in post-production. We're working on an album with a band called Rosie that's out of Richmond. They're just awesome. It's this young rock band. We're having a good time with that. And then, you know, Grand Ole Grizzly is fixing to release their album that they did with us, which I'm really excited about. That was a great project that we worked on. You know, you have Charlie and the Regrets, which is somebody that we both recorded and that I play with that, you know, Charlie's played everywhere from, you know, Green Hall to, you know, we're playing up in Fort Worth opening for Reckless Kelly in July. So we've worked with a lot of different artists and it's been a lot of fun.
Now, Duke Ryan of the Drugstore Gypsies told us a story here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show about how they had found an old rusted out cooker on the side of the road.
Sounds like them.
And they cleaned it up for band cookouts. I have to ask, have you ever tasted any of Duke Ryan's delicacies?
No, they brought something with them to the studio this week, but I was observing my diet this week. Oh. And
what did they bring?
I don't really know. It looked like some sort of pasta dish.
Perhaps it was best you didn't.
Yeah, I'm kind of good not knowing, I think, at this point.
Well, Duke did admit that they pretty much stick to burgers and hot dogs and chicken and steaks.
Yeah.
And that naturally brings us around to the topic of conversation for today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, which is steaks. And that's why I ask you to be a guest on the show, because in our entire Hames family here, you are definitely the steak aficionado. You eat it more often than anyone else. You Probably. Cook it more Yeah. often than anyone else. So start out by telling us, which cuts of steak do you and your son Alex like to eat most often?
Most of the time we're eating, you know, boneless ribeyes. It started more as New York strips, and I just don't like the flavor as much. Like, they're a little tougher. And you can cook them right, and they're still really good, and they're definitely better for you because there's less fat content. But I do like the ribeyes, especially, you know, a lot of times what we'll do is we'll just split one. But, you know, you get a lot more flavor out of it. They're a lot juicier. I really enjoy that part of it.
A lot more marbling, especially yeah. on that little ring on the outside.
Yeah, and sometimes you get a little bit in the middle. You know, the plain old HEB 3-pack of ribeyes that you can get, they're about an inch thick. And I think it usually ends up being like 2.5 pounds amongst three steaks. And usually what we'll do is we'll buy them, I'll cook one and freeze the other two. And then, you know, as needed, we'll go through and thaw them out and cook them.
Yeah, I'm having trouble finding guests who want to talk about anything other than ribeyes and fillets. I've often wondered, whatever happened to the New York strip steak? Whatever happened to T-bones? Whatever happened to sirloin, for crying out loud?
Yeah, you know, we've made sirloins before, but they end up being gigantic. And so you end up eating on it for a couple of days and it gets old. Like I said, New York strips, they're good. I do fillets. That's a special occasion thing. I mean, they're not necessarily the cheapest cut of meat. They are delicious. But, you know, for example, for Christmas a couple of years ago, my parents wanted, you know, to have me over, and it was just going to be the three of us. And so my mom was talking about, I don't know if I can make a ham because she had just had surgery. And I was like, you know what, just don't worry about it. You guys make some sides and I'll take care of the meat part of it. And I went and bought three fillets, just got them from the counter at HEB, and they ended up being really, really good. But like I said, those are usually only special occasion.
Well, now, you can sometimes get fillets that are too thick. To be honest, I've made this mistake before.
Yeah.
I've gotten them so thick that I can't get them cooked all the way through. I've found that about 1 inch, 1 1/4 inch
yeah.
is thick enough, and they turned out better. What say you?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of times what I'll do is, you know, like I said, at HEB, if you go to the counter, you can actually pick out the ones that you want.
Sure.
And it really does depend on, I think, sort of who cut them up that day yep. a lot of times.
Absolutely.
Because you'll get a couple that'll be like 2 to 3 inches thick. And like you said, it's a little harder to cook those. Whew. The biggest thing, like when I'm cooking fillets, I usually do it over medium heat, lid closed. And they really don't require any seasoning. You know, a little salt, a little pepper, maybe some garlic powder or onion powder.
So what's the difference with a ribeye? How do you prepare it and then cook it?
So for the ribeyes, like I said, we have them regularly just because it's an easy dad meal. I can throw it on the grill. It's done in 7 minutes and we can eat it. So there's a couple of different seasonings that I'll use. You know, I think my favorite or the favorite amongst the Hames family is sea salt, cayenne pepper, and chili powder.
Wow.
The chili powder kind of comes off as you cook it, but it does give it a unique flavor. The one that I cook regularly that other people like just the normal one, is I use seasoned pepper, which has red and green bell peppers in it, as well as the black pepper, with garlic powder and onion powder. So I use that. And then there's this seasoning called Basari seasoned salt that I've used before that has like rosemary and nutmeg in it.
Now, wait a minute. What was that name again?
Borsari. B-O-R-S-A-R-I.
Yeah.
Whole Foods has it. You apply a little bit of olive oil to each side so that it sticks. You use a little bit of it because, like I said, it's seasoned salt, so you can get carried away. But, you know, when I cook a ribeye, usually what I'm doing is I'll crank the burners on the grill, close the lid. I'll wait about 2 minutes. I'll put the ribeyes on. I'll leave it on high heat. And I'll do about, depending on how thick they are, like 5.5 minutes on one side, 4.5 to 5 minutes on the other.
This has been Edgewater Studio CFO and our master studio engineer, John Shelton. Thanks, John. Your talent in the studio and in the kitchen humbled me, and we hope you'll come back soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Randy Hames for Lone Star Grills with a Z. Lone Star Grills builds custom smokers, barbecue pits, fire pits, trailer pits, mobile barbecue pits, and more. All in their state-of-the-art computer-controlled fabrication shop manned by skilled craftsmen. Amber and Chris Goodlander meet every customer and every customer's needs. Don't see what you want? They'll custom build it for you. No converted oil drums here. Lone Star Grill's fully tooled on-site fabrication shop can construct anything in steel, stainless steel, or aluminum with flawless precision and the highest quality workmanship every time. Lone Star Grills also has Big Green Eggs, pellet smokers and grills, plus a full line of high-quality made-in-the-USA gas grills and all the accessories. Check out their showroom on I-45 in Willis or call 936-344-6151. And they ship cookers all over the world from their website, LoneStarGrills.com. You spell grills with a Z, but you'll give them an A-plus every time. Lone Star Grills, you deserve the best. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
We've got just enough time to visit with my old Hudson and Harrigan buddy, Fred Olson. How you doing, pal?
I am feeling so blessed this morning. The sun's coming through the oak trees. The grass is growing, kind of, and the cows are fat. So,
why is the grass only kind of growing?
Well, it's a little dry out here.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I got one patch like that, too, right out by the sidewalk.
I know. Why is it, you know, everything is kind of okay, and there'll be this one patch that gets water, gets everything it needs, and still looks like You know, not very good.
Looks like the top of my head.
Well, what the old joke was, oh, that's where the builder buried their beer can.
Yeah, that's right.
When they were building the house, yeah, that's what that patch is. And
well, you mentioned last week that Bev's garden was exploding, so tell us about that.
Well, I will just tell you, yesterday we brought in 46 pounds of produce.
Wow.
That's in one day. That's one day. Usually we average 24 to 26, and it's, you know, squash and... Think about it, you think, oh, give it to somebody, but everybody's growing squash in the country. Everybody's squash plants are just crazy, but we've got a lot of tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers. It's been an amazing year for cucumbers. And, so we're going to process those this week because they're ripening. We don't pull them when they're ripe, you know?
Yep.
Because if you do that, if you wait too long, you're going to get a bug. Something's going to hit it. So you get it when there's first blush underneath it, and then they ripen on a table and in the kitchen. And so we got a couple hundred of them sitting in there right now. So.
Wow. Sounds like you got a tomato crop that begs for a caprese salad or two.
Yeah, really. I try to eat at least one a day just to try to keep the number down, but I'm way behind.
Well, how do you make your caprese salad, Fred?
I'm not really a... We actually spent time in Italy. I don't think I even had one when I was there.
Huh.
But, you know, that's with the buffalo mozzarella and all that kind of stuff, isn't it? And the Kalamata olives, is that what we're talking about?
Well, actually, it's a basil and mozzarella.
Yeah.
And tomato slices. Actually, Cindy just planted some basil out on the back porch. We'll bring the basil leaves if you supply the tomatoes.
Yeah.
Can you get Elmendorf to bring the mozzarella?
Ooh. I got a buddy out here who makes mozzarella.
Wow.
He made some one night for a get-together, and he's not a cook type guy. He's not on. What are you doing? Because I'm making mozzarella. You? It was great. He ate it all. I mean, when it's fresh like that, but it's a pain in the, you know, to make it. But you got to really be aware.
Well, how are Dave and Amy Elmendorf these days? We haven't talked about them in a while.
Dave and Amy are doing good. In fact, I talked to him just the other day.
Yeah?
About the Aggie recruiting class and the new coach up there. And I was telling him things he didn't know, and he's Mr. Aggie. But I can't leave football alone, college or pro, even in the summer.
Well, now, for those who don't know, Dave Elmendorf was a star at Texas AMU. And then he also went on to play for the Rams in the NFL. I believe Super Bowl 14, I think it was. And he's the color commentator on Aggie Radio Network for football. Have you asked him how he feels about doing the broadcasts without Dave South for the first time?
Well, that hasn't really commenced yet. And I haven't really seen, I've talked to him recently. We haven't spent a bunch of time together. We're going to run maybe that. But the thing about Dave Elmendorf, he was drafted by the Yankees in Major League Baseball.
Did not know that.
He was a two-sport star at A&M. I think he's one of only a few people who are inductees into the Hall of Fame there that are two-sporters. So he had his choice. He could have played Major League Baseball with the Yankees, but he chose the Rams and went on to a storied career with like Merlin Olsen and Hacksaw Reynolds and Deacon Jones and all those guys. Wow.
Yeah, and Dave South, of course, was the broadcast voice of Texas Aggie football and basketball, and he recently retired. So Elmendorf is going to continue on as the color analyst, do you know?
I believe so, but Dave South is still doing baseball and basketball, I think.
Really?
He did all of them. I mean, he's on the road all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough, is great, and Dave South is great. I mean, he's got that classic voice and just the knowledge and just very professional, man. But doing three sports, can you imagine? That's like doing country, album rock, and classical or something, you know?
Well,
on the same day.
There are people who do that, I understand. But anyway, I always like to say I love the hot weather because that means football season's not far off. And in looking forward to the Texan season, I'm going to ask you one of those sports talk radio either-or questions. Which one are you more excited about, the Honey Badger's arrival or J.J. Watt's return?
Oh, man. It's a little of both. I'm excited about Deshaun Watson's return.
But I didn't ask you about that.
Okay. What am I more excited about? Having J.J. back, because if he's rushing the passer, everybody on the back end has got a better life, right?
Well, I have to admit, I worry about J.J.'s injuries. I think that they might be catching up with him. You know, he pushes himself really hard, and I think his body might be starting to rebel. What do you think?
Well, I think he said, I mean, after that last injury, and it was KC, wasn't it? That guy's pushing on his head, and he's on the ground, and it just broke my heart, because he's got such a heart of a warrior, and that guy's, the play is, like, way down the field, and the guy is still going after J.J., even though he's on the ground. I thought, man, let the man up. It's okay. But, seeing him come back, he has such a heart for that team and a heart for the city and the community and really just everybody. JJ's one of a kind.
And we have to wish Andre Hal well. He's been diagnosed with Hodgkin lymphoma. Of course, Texans are rallying around him, kind of like they did David Quisenberry. And, of course, Andre has David to kind of lean on in this case. But we're all praying for the best for Andre Hal.
Really? It's just, yeah, what a, oh, man. And he's just kind of coming into his own as a player.
Ooh, and Hard Knocks is only a few weeks away. Did you notice which team's going to be featured on Hard Knocks this year?
Cleveland.
Yes. Baker Mayfield, Johnny Football Light.
Oh, wow, that's funny. I like that. Yeah, there's some major personalities there.
And I don't know if HBO did that on purpose or not, but it's bound to make for compelling television, you know, especially if he grabs himself and cusses at the other team across the field like he did in the Kansas game this past year.
We can only hope.
Yeah. And speaking of compelling, I wanted to briefly discuss the Star Wars movie. You know, we talked about that last week, and we said that some of the critics had kind of panned it. Well, we went to see it Sunday night as a family.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, the critics can go suck an egg as far as I'm concerned, because I thought it was great.
Well, I haven't taken the time, because theaters are a bit of a distance, and that when it comes out on cable or DirecTV or whatever I've got here, Dish, I watch it then. We get real close, get popcorn, and stare at the screen. But I just haven't been as enamored. You know, again, it was all about, until this one, it was all about the Death Star. Everything's about the Death Star, the plan of the Death Star, the prequel to the Death Star. And I'm done with the Death Star, actually. And so maybe this one will be a little different for me.
Well, I don't care. Lots of action, lots of fun. Disney has put the war back in Star Wars. No spoilers now. But I think you'll especially enjoy the backstory about how Han got the last name Solo. It is downright cool.
Mm.
But it's hotter than a pepper sprout right now. Nice transition, Randy. So let's talk about steak. It's National Steakhouse Month, and there's no better topic for the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show than how to cook a good steak. So let's start with which cut of meat you and Jim Bob prefer.
Me, I like filet, and I love a ribeye.
Now, you've talked about Bev cooking steaks in her iron skillet.
Yes.
So tell us about that technique.
Well, that's, you know, I used to grill them, and then I got over grilling meat because that's such an inexact science for me. But when she cooks them in a skillet, she gets that skillet hot, cooks them in butter, and she has her little, you know, recipe for X amount of minutes per side for the thickness of the steak. And you let that rest, and to me, that's just the best. And you don't have to worry about being distracted outside with the grill or worry about grill marks. You know, when you're spending this much for a cut of meat, I want it perfect. I don't want to take a chance with it. And same with the ribeye. Just cook them in a skillet. Go get yourself a skillet. Season the thing. Learn how to clean it right. And you've got a way to really impress people with a great steak. Or she grills a lot of vegetables in it, too. We do a lot of zucchini and squash this time of year. Cut real thick, a little seasoned salt. Get it kind of cooked in that hot pan with butter. It's amazing. But that's how we do steaks around this place. And I just kind of defer to her now. It used to be I was a steak guy over charcoal, which is nice. But I can't beat the skillet.
Does she use a marinade or a rub in advance?
No. We do real basic, seasoned salt and pepper. I think the less, you can always add flavor later too. You can always add salt and pepper or something spicy to it later. We don't really do a lot of steak sauce or anything. But just that pure good cut of meat, cooked right and with a light amount of seasoning, and that's what it's all about for us.
Well, my friend, I think the oven timer just dinged. We're out of time again. Give my best to your lovely wife and remind Elbendorf he's responsible for the mozzarella, okay?
Oh, goodness. It's going to be a hectic month. And next time we talk, we will have probably put up some smoked tomato ancho pepper salsa.
Oh, I forgot to ask about the smoker. We'll talk about that next time, okay?
You got it. Absolutely.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something else.